You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
All right. District Court now in session. Team W. Boyce, Judge presiding.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right. Good morning, everyone. Let me just inquire. Are we ready to have the jurors brought in? Is the state ready?
Yes, Your Honor.
Defense ready?
Yes, Judge.
Okay. Mr. Bailiff, please have the jurors brought in. We'll go on the record. Yeah. Why don't you wait, and then we'll bring the jurors in. I think they're close.
All right, Bing.
All right, thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Please be seated, everyone. Good morning, everyone. We're back on the record this morning on case CR 22-21-1623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. The prosecution's here present, the defendant, as well as defense attorney, Mr. Pryor. Court notes the jurors are all returned and accounted for and properly seated. I've also received and reviewed the jury affirmation signed by each of the 18 jurors. So thank you again for continuing to follow the court's admonishment on your affirmation each day. When we concluded yesterday, the witness, Mr. Warwick, was under cross-examination, which will be continuing this morning. So Mr. Pryor, if you're ready to proceed with continued cross, you can do that. As you make your way over to the podium, and you can do that now, Mr. Pryor, I'll just note to the witness, Mr. Warwick, you are still under oath for your questions, and I just want to confirm, did you review any of the trial testimony since you left the stand yesterday? Okay, you did not. Can you check your microphone also to make sure that's working?
No.
Okay. All right. Mr. Pryor, then, if you'd like to continue with the cross, we can commence this morning. Thank you.
Judge.
Morning.
Before, I guess where I'd like to start, Mr. Warwick, is did you have an opportunity either yesterday or today to talk to the prosecuting attorney about your testimony?
No.
Prior to testifying in this proceeding, did you have an occasion to talk to the prosecutor at any time about your testimony?
No.
Do you recall testifying in a preliminary hearing in August of 2020?
Yes.
Okay. Subsequent to that, did you have an occasion to communicate either directly or through your wife with the prosecuting attorney about the manner and the substance of any of your testimony?
No.
Did you have an occasion to exchange an affidavit or a document between you and your wife and the prosecutor and the police?
I don't recall that.
Okay. Is it possible that the prosecuting attorney or law enforcement showed you an affidavit of facts and had you go over that for accuracy?
Yes.
Okay, so you did go over an affidavit, correct?
I don't know if it was an affidavit, but...
It was a document.
Yeah.
And in that document, it detailed the facts of this particular case and what you would be testifying about, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and then there were some revisions to those documents. In other words, you would make suggestions and send them back to the prosecuting attorney, and then they would send it back, and there was a little bit of a back and forth. Do you recall that?
Nope.
Okay. Do you recall your wife bringing you an affidavit or court document saying the prosecutor would like you to take a look at this and see if this accurately reflects what your testimony is going to be?
No, I don't.
But you do recall going over an affidavit that you that was prepared by the prosecuting attorney for your review, correct?
I would say yes, according to if I'm understanding this correctly.
Okay. So in other words, there was a documented document prepared. You were to review that document. And then at that point, you were to return it either through your wife or directly back to the prosecuting attorney. Is that right?
I never did take it. It was just...
You never did what?
I did not take the document.
Did you read the document?
I did read it.
Did you correspond in any way with the prosecuting attorney about how and what changes would be necessary to that document?
No.
Okay. Did your wife do it for you?
No.
Okay. All right. I want to go back to something you said originally. You talked and you used a couple of adjectives to describe Chad, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think one of them you said was quiet.
Yes.
You saw that yesterday? I don't recall if you used the words humble. Was that one of them, humble?
The words I used is he was kind and... he was meek and humble. I've never seen anything different.
Okay. And throughout all of your interactions with Mr. Daybell, that's the way you found him. You found him as a very meek person, correct?
Correct.
You found him as a very humble person, right?
Yes.
You found him as a very quiet person. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And deeply religious.
Yes.
Okay. And you may not have agreed with all of his religious beliefs, correct?
Correct.
And he would not necessarily believe with all of your religious beliefs. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Okay. But you respected each other for having your respective religious beliefs. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I talked to you a little bit about visions and about vibrations. I want to talk to you a little bit about seances. Do you understand the term seance?
I do.
Okay. Now, did you or with your wife or knowledge of your wife ever participate in a seance?
No.
Okay. Do you have any knowledge as to whether or not your wife participated in a seance?
I do not.
Okay. And I previously asked you about the seven gatherers, but I'm going to ask you again. You have no knowledge whatsoever of what the seven gatherers are. Is that right?
Ask and answer, Donner.
Overruled.
You have no knowledge of what the seven gatherers are. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you testified in a preliminary hearing, I believe it was in August of 2020. You recall that?
Yes.
What was the date of your marriage again?
It was December 12th, 2020.
Okay. So you testified in a preliminary hearing about 4 months before you got married. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, we had your wife on previously, and she talked about the fact that you live in a different state than she is. Is that right?
Yes.
And she lives somewhere in Arizona. We don't need to say where. And you live somewhere in Utah. Is that correct?
Correct.
And how long have you folks lived separately?
Probably about 2 years now.
Okay. And how long did you actually live together?
Overruled.
How long did you live together?
Several months.
Meaning 2 or 3 months?
No, it was a little longer than that.
How much longer?
I don't recall.
Okay. Would it be as much as 8 or 9 months?
It could have been.
Okay. But several months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, isn't it true that the reason you got married is because you were trying to avoid having to be forced to testify against each other in a criminal proceeding?
No.
Okay. I want to go over with you again some of your testimony with the prosecuting attorney. You made mention of a timeline. You said you went to a park during one of the days. I think you came in on a Friday, right?
Friday night.
But you don't remember about what time?
I would think about 7:30.
Okay. And then you said that you saw Chad several times over the weekend. Is that right?
Yes.
How many times?
I would say more like a few times, like I would say 3 or 4 that I can actually recall.
Okay, and one of them you described as being in a park on a Saturday. Is that right?
That was on Sunday.
That was on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you see Chad on Saturday?
Yeah. Yes.
When did you see him on Saturday? What time?
I would say it was late morning or early afternoon.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what was the purpose? That was the time when you folks had that discussion about Tammy and some of the other items that you talked about. Is that right?
Yes.
That was the significant discussion where the vast majority of what you spoke to Chad about took place on that Saturday. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you didn't see Chad on Friday. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. And then you got up on Saturday. And in one report to the police, you mentioned that you slept in Saturday and then ate breakfast at Lori's condo. Do you remember telling law enforcement that?
I don't.
Okay. Do you dispute the fact that maybe you slept in and ate breakfast on Saturday morning?
No, I just don't remember.
Okay. And then what you did is you guys got prepared and went to a seminar called the Firm Foundation Saturday, right after you got done eating breakfast. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay, and according to your wife's testimony, you spent the better part of the day and the evening at the Firm Foundation. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay, so my question is this, is that if you were at this Firm Foundation all day and into the evening late, how is it that you met with Chad in the apartment on Saturday?
Because we were not at the whole event.
Okay.
We didn't attend the whole event.
And if your wife said you did attend the whole events and that she took pictures for over 9 or 10 hours, that's something she's mistaken about, right?
If she did, yes.
Okay. And you left the event during this event and came back, went to Lori's to eat. Is that right?
I don't remember.
Okay. All right. So you also don't remember talking to Chad on Saturday, do you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. And then when you got back from the convention late, you folks decided that you would consider starting your podcast. Is that right?
No.
Oh, you didn't have an equipment failure of your podcast on Saturday evening?
No.
Okay. And then you, again, expressed to law enforcement that you slept in Sunday morning, right?
I don't recall.
Okay. And did you see Chad at all on Sunday?
Yes.
When did you see him?
At the park.
Which park is that, do you know?
I just know it was at Rexburg.
Okay. About what time was that?
I would say late morning.
Late morning.
If I'm recalling correctly.
Okay. Late morning, you saw Chad on Sunday. Do you recall meeting out at a 80 acres piece of land late Sunday afternoon?
Yes.
Okay. And you were there with Lori?
No, Lori wasn't there.
Alex.
Melanie? And Melanie.
Okay. And nobody else was there, right? JJ wasn't there.
So who? Who'd you say?
JJ.
No.
Okay. And when you met with Chad at the park on Sunday, how long of a meeting was that?
I would say a half hour.
Okay. Did he just come right over and say, let's go out to a park, or was there another purpose behind that?
No, they want us to come over to the park.
Okay. Who's they wanted?
Chad and Lori.
Okay. So Chad showed up at the park, or did he come over to the condo and then you all went over to the park together Sunday morning?
I really don't remember.
Okay. Okay. But then later on in the afternoon, you met a realtor by the name of Ron Arnold at a piece of 80 acre piece of property, right?
Yes, him and yes, he showed up later.
Well, he showed up with Chad later, did he not?
Yes, he did.
And what I find interesting is that you had noted in previous reports that he showed up with Chad and Chad was wearing his church clothes. Do you?
Hold on. There's an objection. Can you repeat that into the microphone, Mr. Wixom?
Yes, Judge. That was argumentative, at least the first portion of the question or statement.
Overruled.
Chad showed up at that meeting on the land in the 80 acres with Ron Arnold, and he was wearing his church clothes, right?
That's right.
So he had gone to church that morning?
Yes.
So how is it that he met with you if he was at church in the morning?
Well, this was the afternoon.
No, I'm talking about the park.
Well, this was after the park.
Well, that's what I mean. He showed up at the.
He was serving in his calling, and him and Ron were serving together, and they came over. Okay. And I did not know they were coming over because I said I do not want to do any business on Sunday.
Well, I think you're missing my point, and I'll try to be a little clearer, okay?
I appreciate that.
All right, you're welcome. What I don't understand is that if Chad was at church, engaged in church activity Sunday morning, and engaged in this calling Sunday, how is it that he met you, Lori, and Melanie at a park on that very same Sunday?
I don't know that he was at church Sunday morning.
Okay. Well, isn't it true that you told the investigators that he was showing up in church clothes with another gentleman who's a real estate agent?
That was in the afternoon, yes.
Right. And isn't it true they told you that they just came over from attending church?
No.
Okay. And if Mr. Arnold were to get on the stand and say that's exactly what he told you, would that be an inaccurate statement by Mr. Arnold?
Well, they were attending their calling, so in a way they're attending church, but it wasn't the services.
Okay. So these visits that you claim you had with Chad were on Saturday when you were at a convention, is that right? And you happened to just take a break from a 10-hour convention that you were with your wife, right? To visit with Chad, is that right, on Saturday?
I'm trying to recall what time we saw Chad on, okay. What time I saw Chad on Saturday.
Oh, so possibly it could change now, is that right?
Well, no, I just don't remember. I just know that I was not at the whole conference.
Okay.
I didn't attend the whole conference, so.
Sir, isn't it true you didn't see Chad on Friday?
Yes, it's true. I did not see him on Friday.
And isn't it true you didn't see him on Saturday?
No, that's not true.
And isn't it true, sir, that on Sunday, the only time you saw him is when he went out to an 80 acres with a couple of other witnesses, and that's the only contact at all you had with Chad Daybell over that weekend?
Objection. Nope. Argumentative.
Not true. Hold on.
Stop. All right, Mr. Pryor, Mr. Warwick, I'm sustaining that objection. I'm striking the response. Mr. Pryor, next question.
I'm done, Judge. Thank you.
All right. Redirect.
Thank you, Your Honor. Morning, Mr. Warwick.
Good morning.
So I want to start by covering some of the questions that you were asked initially this morning. Do you recall the defense attorney just asking you whether or not yesterday you had met with prosecutors about your testimony? Do you recall that question?
Yes.
And you answered no?
Yes.
Do you recall meeting with me yesterday?
I don't. I mean, we talked in the hall, but we didn't talk about the case.
Okay. What about the day before?
No.
Let me ask this. Were there ever times that you and I, prior to you coming into court yesterday and testifying, were there times that you and I did meet and we did discuss your potential testimony?
Yes.
When's the best time that you withdraw that? To the best of your recollection, when did we do that?
Probably a couple months ago, I'll be my guess.
And upon your arrival to Idaho Falls, I'm sorry, to Boise, a couple of days ago, did we also meet again?
No.
You don't recall that?
I don't.
Let's move on. You were asked some questions by the defense about the way that you characterized Chad. Do you remember those questions?
Yes.
And I think the words quiet and kind and meek came up. Is that right?
Yes.
Now, to be clear, over the last several years, you've met with law enforcement a few different times, haven't you?
Yes.
Do you remember which law enforcement, by any chance, that you've met with?
I probably remember more by face than name.
Do you ever remember discussing with law enforcement your feelings about whether or not you liked Chad? Do you remember that?
Well, liking Chad or liking his ways?
Liking Chad.
I'll say yes. It's vague, but I remember.
What?
It's overruled. You can continue to answer.
What do you remember about telling law enforcement about whether or not you liked Chad?
Well, the only thing I can recall that I was struggling with is when he approached me about doing a book, I told him that I needed time to come to understand if that was right and if it was right, and then I needed to decide who, if it was to be done. And for the next year, it was like when he reached out to me, he just didn't acknowledge the grounds that I had set. And he was kind of forward about, he was ready and wanted to go forward like I had already agreed, and I never had. That's the only thing I can recall right now anyway, that I think that's what you're referring to.
Is it possible that you use even more descriptive language about how you felt about Chad in that interview at that time?
I mean, it could be possible, but I'm not recalling it.
If you had an opportunity to review a police report from June of 2020, do you think it's possible that could refresh your recollection about that part of your conversation?
Yes.
Your Honor, with that, may I offer the witness a copy of the report from Detective Hermosillo from that same date?
Any objection from the defense? All right. There's a Mr. Wixom, if you'll reference the precise date of the interview and also instruct the witness that he's just to refresh recollection with that, not read it into the record, for example, or read from it.
Will do, Your Honor, certainly. So I thought I indicated that the date of the interview was June 8th of 2020 with Detective Hermosillo. If I might ask the marshal to hand this to the witness. And sir, the court's instructing you, as normal, that you're not to read this report to the jury. Just take a moment when you receive it, review it, refresh your recollection. When you're done reading it, either turn it over or offer to hand it back to the marshal, and then I'll ask questions, okay?
Okay. Into the microphone, please, Mr. Pryor.
Judge, just to clarify, Judge, I didn't recall a June 8th interview with Officer Hermosillo, but I did have a recollection of a June 3rd, so counsel may want to correct his date. My recollection is it should be a June 3rd is when Officer Hermosillo interviewed Mr. Warwick, from my recall.
I'm referring to the date referenced in the very report that we've just handed to defense counsel. That's the best date that I'm aware of, Judge. It's the date recorded in the report.
Okay. Well, we'll go off the date listed in the report.
Judge, could I point to your native objection when Mr. Warwick is done?
You may, once he's reviewed that report.
Judge, in the interest of time, may I direct the witness to a specific portion of the report to read to himself?
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you. Mr. Warwick, I would call your attention to page 4 of that report and invite you to read the last two paragraphs, please, to yourself.
Okay.
You'll just turn that over then. Well, go ahead, Mr. Wixom, but I understand Mr. Pryor may have an objection, but you can ask whatever question you've got up next after that review.
Thank you, Your Honor. And just for clarity's sake, for the record, upon looking at my copy, the supplemental report that was handed to Mr. Warwick was written and dated at the top for June 28th, 2020. But defense counsel is correct that the interview did occur on the 3rd of June of 2020.
No questions, Judge, at this point.
Okay, thank you. You can proceed, Mr. Wixom.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Warwick, having had a chance to review that paragraph, did it refresh your recollection?
Yes, it did.
Could you please explain to the jury, what was it that you told Detective Hermosillo in June of 2020 about Chad?
I was really angry that he called Melanie and told her not to talk to the police.
Why were you angry?
Because when someone makes a call like that, there's something wrong. And I had no idea what was going on. I was on the phone with my mother because she just got diagnosed with cancer. And so I was on my way over to...
Judge, objection.
Sorry.
Hold on. What's the grounds?
Relevance.
Overruled. You can continue, Mr. Warwick.
Here's the relevance. I was on the phone with a broken down mother trying to get to her. Melanie's on the phone with Chad. And then when we both got off the phone, Melanie was really quiet. And I could tell she was really upset. So I just asked her, I said, what's going on?
Judge, she said, objection, calls for hearsay.
Yeah, this invites hearsay, sustained.
Do you happen to recall anything else that you told to Detective Hermosillo in that interview about your feelings about Chad?
Yes.
What else do you recall?
That he was manipulative.
Can you explain what you meant to Detective Hermosillo when you used the word manipulative?
He gets people's confidence, and then he uses that confidence for his favor.
So I'm going to invite you to explain to the jury and reconcile how you can your statements that Chad was kind and humble and meek, but you also think he's manipulative.
Yeah, because all my interactions with Chad were kind, humble, and meek. It was that situation that happened much later. I just wasn't in that time frame. So that's when I saw a different Chad.
What was that different Chad? Describe that different Chad.
Call and tell somebody, literally tell them not to take the call with a very authoritative voice.
When you said authoritative voice, did you hear him on the phone?
No, I didn't. I just, after Melanie shared with me what the call had just happened.
You were asked about the reason behind your marriage with Melanie. You remember that question from the defense counsel?
Yes.
Why is it that you married Melanie?
Why is it? Because she's a wonderful woman, and she was very good with my Down syndrome boy and with all my children, and we're very compatible on many things.
Is there any question in your mind that the two of you have a loving relationship?
No.
And in fact, it was suggested that perhaps your marriage was to avoid testifying against each other. Do you recall that?
I'm an objector.
Yes.
And I think I got the objection in time, Judge.
Yes, grounds.
But it's leading.
Judge, I'm just...
Overall, you can answer.
Your Honor, could we ask Madam Reporter to repeat that? I want to make sure that I did it correctly, if she'd be kind enough to do so.
You may. Okay. And I'm going to repeat that for the record. The last question was, and in fact, it was suggested that perhaps your marriage was to avoid testifying against each other. Do you recall that?
I do recall that.
Have you ever been charged with any type of criminal charge related to this case in any way?
No.
Your Honor, may I have permission to approach on one last topic?
Approach the court?
Yes, sir.
Sidebar?
If we may, yes.
Very well. You can continue, Mr. Wixon.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Warwick, you were asked some questions by the defense about this meeting that you had with Chad whenever it occurred that weekend. Do you recall those questions?
Yes.
And in fact, part of those conversations involved his relationship with Tammy, his wife?
Yes.
Do you recall whether or not Mr. Dayville ever indicated to you the status of Tammy's health?
Yes.
What did he say?
He said that she was healthy.
And was that in relationship to the withdraw that? Give us the context of how he explained to you that she was healthy, please.
I was asking him about his marriage, about what kind of wife and mother, and then he told me that she was going to be passing, because was given a dream or a vision that she was going to be passing. And then I asked him about her health. And he said she was healthy.
Thank you. And last couple of questions, Mr. Warwick. Without intending to be facetious, have any of your own personal visions or spiritual experiences ever led you to think that you personally have any kind of superpowers?
No.
Have they in any way caused you to feel like you have some prominent position in whatever you believe the last day's events are?
No.
Have any of your visions or personal experiences ever revealed to you propriety or a way of dealing with people that you believe are possessed?
No.
Your Honor, I have no further questions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wixom.
Judge, I think there's now some recross.
Briefly, Mr. Pryor.
So this discussion about Tammy's health, that's the same discussion that took place supposedly on the Saturday between times you were at the seminar for the Firm Foundation, right?
That'd be the best of my recollection, yes.
And Chad mentioned to you during that so-called Saturday visit that Tammy would be passing sometime in the future, right?
Yes.
And you were aware that Chad had made that revelation well before he ever met Lori Vallow, right?
I heard that he had, but I'd never heard it before.
And what I'm having some difficulty with is that he's telling you that his wife is going to be passing sometime in the future, and yet he also tells you contradictory information suggesting that she's just healthy as can be, right?
I don't know if it's contradictory, but
okay.
Saying yes.
Okay. Now, the prosecutor asked you, you've never been charged with a criminal charge. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. But the day and the evening or the morning that J.J. Vallo was murdered, you and your wife were at Lori Vallo's condominium that night, right?
Yes.
Nothing else, Judge.
All right. That'll conclude testimony then of Mr. Warwick. Is the state intending any recall of the witness?
At this time, we would release Mr. Warwick from the state's perspective.
Mr. Pryor, would the defense have any intention to recall this witness?
Judge, he's under subpoena, and depending on what testimony comes forward in the future, we'll have to make that decision. So we'd like him to remain under subpoena at this point.
All right. Mr. Warwick, then you're still subject to the court's exclusionary order in this case. You may be recalled since you're under subpoena from the defense, so you're not permitted to watch any trial testimony or discuss your testimony with anyone else until that time. All right.
Okay,
thank you. You can go ahead and step down, and then we'll have another witness called once the state's ready. State's next witness, please.
State would call Brandon Boudreau.
Will the court or affirm the testimony you're about to give to be the truth, the whole truth?
All right, now the witness has been placed under oath. I'm just going to inquire. The court does have an exclusionary order. In fact, Mr. Boudreau, have you observed any of the trial testimony in this case since it began?
I have not.
All right. Have you talked to anybody else about the testimony they've given in trial?
I have not.
All right. Mr. Wood, then you can proceed with your direct examination.
Thank you. And Your Honor, before I do, I apologize. I should have asked for this from the court earlier. If I could be handed State's Exhibit 9.
Okay. We'll get that to you.
Good morning.
Morning.
Can you state your name and spell it for the record?
My name is Brandon Boudreau. B-R-A-N-D-O-N. Boudreau is B-O-U-D-R-E-A-U-X.
Mr. Boudreau, are you married?
I am.
Are you on a first or second marriage?
I'm in my second marriage.
I want to ask you a few questions about your first marriage. Who were you married to?
Melanie, she was Cope and then became Boudreau.
And in your marriage with Melanie Boudreau, did you have any children?
I did. I had four.
What are their ages?
14, 10, 8, and 7.
And how long were you married to Melanie Boudreau?
I was married to her for about 10 years.
Right. And you mentioned earlier that her maiden name was Cope?
It was, yes.
And are you aware of her current last name?
Pulowski.
What year did you marry Melanie?
2008.
And during that time, did you have occasion to meet her family?
Yes, I did.
I want to specifically ask about, did you meet the Cox family?
Yes, I did.
And who were they in relation to Melanie Boudreau?
They would have been her birth mom's family, extended family.
And who in that family did you meet?
I met Janice and Barry Cox, Adam Cox, Summer Shiflett, Lori Vallo, and Alex Cox.
And so what was Lori Vallo's relation to Melanie Boudreau?
She would have been Melanie's aunt.
And what was Alex Cox's relationship to her?
He would have been her uncle.
So they were your aunt and uncle-in-law?
Yeah.
Did you spend much time with Melanie's family?
Yeah, we spent a lot of time together.
In what capacity would you spend time with them?
We spent holidays together. When they lived close to us, we probably see each other once a month. When they were more distant, we would travel to each other's houses and stay for a week or two at a time. And then we do trips together. We went to Disneyland a lot together.
And I asked that kind of broadly about her family. Did you have occasion to spend much time with Lori Vallo and Charles Vallo?
Lori and her kids and my kids, we would go to Disneyland a lot. We would hang out a lot. We did a lot of things together. It was just kind of part of our lives.
Okay. And I said Charles Vallow at that time. Was Lori Vallow married to Charles Vallow?
Yes.
And how well did you get to know Lori and Charles?
I would say pretty well, very well.
And you mentioned your family spent time together. You said you went to Disneyland?
Yeah.
And would you spend holidays together?
Yeah, often.
Would your children spend time with her children?
Yeah, my son Braxton was very good friends with JJ. They kind of bonded, and my daughter as well, right?
And how old was Braxton as compared to JJ?
He's a couple years older.
And were you aware that JJ had some special needs?
Yeah. JJ had autism. Everybody who was around him, it was easy to tell. Early on when he was younger, he was nonverbal for a while. And so he had like all this energy, but he didn't, you know, he didn't know how to use it. So you just had to be prepared for that. You set your house up for it when he'd come over to our house, or when you went to Lori and Charles, they spent a lot of time making sure that it was a safe place for him, and that everything was kind of handled for that. And then as he got older, he started learning how to talk, and he could say things. And similarly, he would, you know, he would rephrase things over and over. When he wanted to play with my son, he'd always say, you know, go to Braxy, and he called my daughter Fridays instead of Bridie. So Braxy and Fridays. But
okay. Did, and so you said Braxton was a good playmate for JJ.
Yeah.
Did your family spend time with Tylee Ryan?
Yeah.
Tell me about your relationship with Tylee Ryan.
She's a good girl. She was, I knew her from when she was little, and then all the way up into being a teenager. And so she was a normal teenager. You know, she had her moments where she just wanted to sleep in late and no one to bug her, watch too much Netflix, and, other times where she'd open up and she was sweet, and you know, got to know the real Tylee. So you got a little bit of both.
And did she interact with your children as well?
She did. Yeah. Often would babysit them, or she was a little older than my kids, so she would naturally be kind of more of a she had good motherly instincts, you know, with them.
Did you ever observe Tylee with JJ?
Yeah, she was very protective of him.
And did you know Colby Ryan?
Yeah, I do.
Speaking of Tylee, did you yourself have any special sort of religious connection to Tylee Ryan?
I did. I baptized her.
Okay. And when you baptized her, what church was that in?
In the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Right. And so to your knowledge, Tylee and her family were members of that church?
Yes.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about Melanie Boudreau and Lori Vallow. Did you have occasion to observe their relationship?
Yes, I did.
And was that over a span of years?
Yes.
What was that relationship like?
You know, Melanie's mom died when she was young, and she had an awesome stepmom, but I think she also looked a lot to Lori as a mother figure. So she, in our marriage, at least, she was very easily influenced by wanting to do things. That's why we went always to Disneyland with Lori. It was just kind of, she always wanted to be like Lori and spent a lot of time looking for her acceptance.
Okay. And you testified that you indeed spent a lot of time with them.
Yes.
Did you know Charles Vallow?
Yes.
Did you have a relationship with Charles Vallow?
Yeah, we had a really good relationship.
Tell us about that. What made that a good relationship?
We just had similar personalities. I think both of us, we loved what we did for work. We loved owning businesses and selling. And he was very much a producer mentality type of a person. And besides that, I think we both loved our faith and had a lot of gratitude that we had. You know, I think of us spending time just talking about how grateful we were to have our families and be in the position where we were in life.
And you said you had some common ground in business. What did you do?
I worked in, I built a DirecTV sales organization, and he owned, he did life insurance.
You mentioned traveling to each other's homes. Where did that happen?
It depended throughout, you know, that 10 years is a long time. And so they never owned their houses. They rented and they moved a little bit more often. And so they lived in Hawaii for parts of the time, and we would travel out to Hawaii to see them. Other times they lived blocks from us in Arizona. I lived in Arizona throughout that whole time.
And would they sometimes stay at your house when they came back from Hawaii?
Yes. Yeah. When I was first married, Lori actually came in up and stayed with us in Utah as well when I had a place there.
And yeah, I believe you mentioned that you would spend holidays together sometimes.
Yeah. Often like Christmas, Thanksgiving, we would, major holidays, we'd end up meeting at somebody's house and doing it together.
Do you recall the last Christmas that the Boudreaux, that your family, the Boudreaux family, and the Charles and Lori Vallow family spent together?
Yeah, it would have been 2018.
And was that a typical Christmas?
No, it was different.
Why was it different?
In 2018, our families were changing. That particular Christmas, I didn't, you know, I wasn't as aware of everything that was going on. But when we went there, when you spend that much time together all the time, you know, you don't have to say anything. You just know from each other's body language. And when you show up places, when you do things, it's just, you always feel welcome. You feel loved. You feel close. It's like you can pick up right where you left off. And that Christmas when I was over at Lori's house, there just felt like a lot of distance. There was, and usually just the family. It was just like the Coxes and the Boudreaux. And that Christmas, there was someone named Ellie Gibb who was there who, I mean, she was a stranger to me. So it was kind of different to have a stranger at Christmas. And then, and there was really not very much conversation with me and a lot less focus on my kids and the kids that Christmas.
So when you say less focus from who?
From Lori.
And how was her interaction with you and your family different than before?
Yeah, Lori was pretty like doting. When my kids would come over, she would make them feel loved. You know, she would you know, just try to spoil them with presents and attention, and that was kind of her way of letting people know that she noticed them, and that didn't happen that Christmas.
So it was markedly different.
Yeah.
Did you observe Lori and your wife, Melanie, at that party?
Yes.
How do you recall what their interaction was?
I remember leaving afterwards and talking to my wife about how it felt different, because it felt so different, and her telling me that nothing felt different at all. So I would say that she felt like it was fine and normal, and it didn't seem to her like it did to me.
Okay. Around this time, were you and your wife active in your church?
Yes.
And when I say active in your church, did you regularly attend church meetings?
Yeah, usually every Sunday, unless there's something going on.
And had your family and the Charles and Lori Vallow family, had you ever shared religious activities with them?
Yeah, like I said, I baptized Tylee. We talked about church openly amongst us.
Around that time, so we're talking about the end of 2018, did your wife's activity in religious events change?
Yeah, in the fall of 2018, earlier in my marriage, she just didn't love going to church. It wasn't her thing. I liked going to church, so I was kind of the advocate. I would push a little more. But in the fall of 2018, she got very excited about religion and going to church. And she started talking about how she wanted to, she set this goal that she was going to go to the temple every single day.
Okay. And so around the fall of 2018, her attitudes appeared to change.
Yes.
And you said she wanted to go to the temple every day. What did you think of that?
In our faith, it's going to the temple is definitely something that's important to us. It's a way to kind of to go through a process to remind yourself of promises that you make to God. It's kind of ritualistic, but for me, it's a great thing to do in moderation. You know, I might go once a month, and I think that's kind of a normal thing for a person. If they set a goal, they go once a month and just kind of remember, hey, I committed to God to give my life to certain principles. But when it's pretty rare for someone to go every day, that's a lot, especially for a mom with kids at home and a lot of other things that we had as responsibilities. It was surprising, I think would probably be the right word, but also... For me at the time, I wanted to be supportive. I wanted to show that, you know, I could meet her where she was and help her try to figure things out.
And just for clarity's purpose, in your faith, is going to the temple the same thing as going to church? What most people think of as going to church?
No.
What's the difference?
Going to the temple is something we do once for ourselves. That very first time to make promises to God. It's like being baptized. You know, we go once for ourselves, we make promises to God. And then each time you go afterwards, you do it for someone who's passed on, but it's something that's kind of viewed, like I said, it's maybe a once a month thing, or I mean, going regularly is healthy. And I think a good part of anybody who wants to find a rhythm for their religion, but going every day would maybe be something somebody did if they were retired and they just had nothing else to do.
But going to the temple is not your regular Sunday services.
No, we go to a regular Sunday service every Sunday at a church building.
Thank you for to clarify that. And so this was, I think you said in the fall of 2018 that these changes started taking place.
Yes.
In addition to this daily temple attendance, what else changed in your wife's religious demeanor or attitude?
You know, at that time she started going to these things that she was calling firesides, but weren't things that I would call a fireside.
Okay. So let's clarify that. In your church, if someone says fireside, what do you normally think of?
So inside of our faith, there's a leader of like a group we call it a ward. So like a group of people who live in a certain geographic area. And so inside your ward, that leader's name is a bishop, and him or one of the other people, like the counselors in the leadership group, at times they might, besides going to church on Sunday, they might set up a meeting that they think might lift us up or encourage us spiritually. And it might be outside the normal times you go. And so they usually do them in the evenings, and they call them firesides. That's something that, you know, you get together, it's under the direction of the church. And ideally it's uplifting. It's something that's going to bring you closer to, you know, your commitments you made when you're baptized to try to follow the Savior.
Okay. And you said that Melanie Boudreau, and there's multiple Melanies in this case, so I'm going to keep referring to her as Melanie Boudreau, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, that's fine.
And so Melanie Boudreau, she started going to what I believe you testified, what she called firesides, correct?
Correct.
And were these different than what you would normally call a fireside?
Yeah, so I kind of just described what I think of as a fireside, but she was just going to people's houses, and they were doing meetings that weren't under direction of anybody from the church. And oftentimes they were focused on things that aren't things we talk about normally in church. You know, some of them were just...
What kind of things?
I mean, I didn't go to them, so I can't say what exactly was talked about, but I can share what came back from them, which was what made me concerned. You know, there was a... She came home one time and wanted to get like $10,000 worth of food storage all at once because she was really concerned about the end of the, you know, the end of times coming, the end of the world coming. And it just didn't seem very practical to me, you know? And then there was other focuses that she would come home with. She had a fascination with like Jesus Christ and did he have a family and what, you know, what, why was James's name the beloved? A lot of early Christian, early church things. And so I would share perspective, but I was also, I kind of tried to share with her my perspective on, I served a mission for my church for a couple of years and I saw some people who fell away from it. And I shared something that I had noticed in that process those people got really focused on not the core of believing in finding faith in Jesus Christ, but they got focused on things that were really far away from that, you know, and it led to them falling away from the core of their faith.
Right. And you said that you never attended any of these, can I use the phrase, alternative firesides?
Yeah, that's funny. No, I did not attend any of them.
Did you ever attempt to?
I did ask if I could, mostly because I wanted to see what was going on in there so I could give her better perspective, but she let me know I wasn't welcome at them.
So she didn't let you go with her?
Yeah, she told me I wasn't welcome to come.
Do you know if Lori Vallow was at any of those firesides?
Yeah, I do. She's the one who invited her to them initially.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.